Episode 10, Return to Woomer. As a vital step towards establishing a world government, the Scientific Unity Organization is planning to take over and assemble the Commonwealth Space Station Orbiter X. Captain Bradley of the Commonwealth Space Project has been indoctrinated by the Unitists and returned to his headquarters at Woomera, where he's to work as a Unity agent. Following his return, the monitoring staff in the central control room pick up the distorted image of what they believe to be an unidentified flying object. It's approaching the headquarters fast, but interference on the tracking screens makes identification impossible. The object is, in fact, the Commonwealth ship Orbiter 2, with Captain Bob Britton, Douglas McClelland, and Flight Engineer Hicks on board. Unaware of this, and believing that it may be hostile, Colonel Kent prepares to take defensive action.
I want the range and bearing worked out immediately. Sound the general alarm and alert the perimeter defenses. I don't know what's behind this, but if somebody's looking for trouble, they'll get it.
Oh, sir, the image on the screen is pretty bad, but the figures are coming through, okay? Missile batteries standing by.
Feed the predictor information straight to them.
Yes, Colonel.
The UFO's bearing 209 EV27, range 951, altitude 75 miles.
Still heading towards us. Order the missiles to line up.
Right, lining up now.
Keep tracking, Brown.
Yes, Colonel.
You're quite sure the UN Space Department knows nothing about any flights?
Absolutely sure. We've checked.
All the same, we can't open fire until we know beyond all reasonable doubt that the object is a projectile aimed at Boomerang. Turn up the sound monitor.
Right, sir.
Yes, the interference is pretty bad, but I'll try making a call. I don't suppose you'll get an answer, but you never know. Hello. This is CSP Woomera calling unidentified flying object bearing 209 EV27. Announce your identity, please. This is urgent.
Nothing there.
No, just mush.
Hold everything. The UFO seems to have leveled out. Yes, the altitude's going up. Up to 80 miles plus. Look at that. It can't be a projectile at all. It must be piloted. It must be a ship.
Sorry we had to overshoot our target and climb away from Woomera, chaps.
It was either that or we'd have burnt up, Bob.
Yes, blimey, it was like a furnace when we got down into the atmosphere. What's our position now, Mac?
We're almost over the Gulf of Carpentaria. Altitude around 90 miles.
So, the big question is, do we carry on and make a complete circuit around the Earth? Or do we turn and make another dive towards home sweet home?
Well, if we make the full circuit, we should have bags of time to slow down to landing speed. But what about Kramer and the Unitists?
Yes, it's 10-1 they'd start throwing things. And we'd be a nice, easy target for the blighters.
Yes, that's the whole trouble, Hickey.
Well, I reckon we ought to turn and dive. Let's risk it. If we start heating up again, we can always pull out. As long as we don't leave it too late.
Well, that's the only way, Bob.
All right. What's the cabin temperature now?
It's fallen to 120 degrees. Shades of Aden. I remember when I was there in the Navy, it was so blooming hot.
You can tell us about that some other time, old lad. How's the cooling plant working?
It's a bit dicey. We should have given it a thorough check when we carried out the general repairs, I suppose.
Can't be helped now. The thing is, are we all agreed that we have another bash for Woomera?
Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
Right. Then open up the starboard jets at 9/10 maximum. We'll start turning.
Okay. Here we go. And the best of luck.
That's fine. Open the port jets and balance off. Good, Pato. Going into the dive. Check your straps.
Okay. Keep her on bearing 312 EV19.
Right.
Accurate navigation's tricky without radio, but that should put us on course for HQ.
Fair enough. We're going down fast now.
You've said it. Look at the ceramic on the leading edges of the fins. It's beginning to glow red hot.
And we won't start worrying until the hull begins to glow.
like it did on that last dive.
Yeah, but we were traveling a lot faster then.
Oh, that's true.
Do you think the CSP tracking stations have picked us up yet?
Not if Kramer's still got his interference transmitter working on low-altitude coverage. They should certainly see us by the time we get down to the 60 or 70-mile mark.
Well, they could have heard us if we'd stopped to get the radio working.
Yeah, so could Kramer. Can't risk that.
No, of course not.
Hope they recognize us. Otherwise, we'll get a blooming hot reception.
Quite a little ray of sunshine, isn't he, Bob?
Yeah. All the same, we want to give them a good chance to pick us up on the scanners. Better start braking again. I'll open the auxiliary retrojets. Hold on.
The temperature's creeping up to the danger level already.
Can't be helped. No turning back now. We'll just keep going. Hope for the best.
UFO bearing 042, EV23. Altitude 60 miles.
It looks as if it's holding to its course this time, Sir Charles.
Yes. What do you make of it?
I wish I knew. The picture on the monitor is bound to clear as the thing gets closer. Yes. That is clearing now.
Yes, the object's beginning to take shape. It's obviously diving out of the interference zone. How about another call on the RT?
I'll try. Hello, CSP Woomera calling UFO. Are you receiving me? Come in, please. Still no answer.
Kent, look at the picture.
Yes, I'm looking.
Surely that outline's familiar. It's exactly like one of our own ships.
Yes, it is.
I say, sir, the tracking station at Mount Isa has just come through to say that UFO looks like Orbiter 2.
And look at the screen now.
I can't understand.
Well, neither can I, but seeing's believing.
Trackers report Orbiter 2 approaching on bearing 042, EV18, sir.
There must be a mistake. I was aboard the ship myself less than a week ago. It was derelict, empty, orbiting 1,200 miles above the Earth. It needed major repairs.
Which seem to have been carried out.
But who by?
Perhaps we shall know the answer to that question quite soon.
According to the predictors, the ship ought to touch down 25 miles to the west of our landing zone. But it may change course on the final approach.
If it doesn't, will you take me out to meet it in one of the jet helicopters, Kent?
I will. Do you think it's wise for you to come, Sir Charles?
Well, why shouldn't I? You don't imagine we're going to find a crew of Martians waiting for us, do you?
Well, whoever they are, they can't be our chaps.
Not unless they've been helped by some outside agent.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, Britton, McClellan, and Hicks left Orbiter 2. You know that because you went aboard.
Yes.
So if they returned to the ship and brought it home, we shall have to treat them very carefully. Do you understand?
Yes, I think I do.
The ground's coming up fast. It's too late to turn towards Woomera, Mac.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't bring you right in on time.
Don't apologize. We're not far off, and the ground's smooth enough for landing. And any trouble now is cutting down speed. I'm going to start leveling out. The G-force will hit us pretty hard. Are you ready for it?
Yep. All set, Bob.
Right. Breaking up. What is it?
The starboard fin is beginning to crack. The heat must have done it.
Okay, we'll have to crash land. It won't be too bad. I'm going in on the approach run. Now, just remember, the moment we stop, we must get out quickly in case of fire.
Yeah,
I've opened the inner hatch, Bob. We're all ready.
Good. That fin will just hold together while I put the tail down. We'll be okay. Here we go. Right. Tail down.
Well done, Bob.
It was a nice bit of work, Bob.
You both all right?
Yes, all right.
Sure. Out we go, quickly, come on. After being in zero gravity, you feel you weigh about a ton when you stand up. We must move.
You said it. Those fuel tanks might go up at any moment.
The hatch is jammed. I think it's shifting.
Here, we'll give you a hand. All right. Get your shoulder to it, Mac.
Okay.
Right. That's it. Go on, out we go. Jump.
Oh, look at that. The engine room's burning all right.
Yes, just got out in time. Come on, run for it. Fast as you can.
Right.
You must find some cover. A dip in the ground will do. Anything to screen us from the blast when the tanks explode.
There's a dip. Straight ahead. It goes down 3 or 4 feet.
Just a jump. Into it quickly and life, lad.
Okay.
Come on, Higgy. Don't worry, I'm with you. Good man. Over we go into the dip. Heads down.
Well, old ship saw us home, chaps.
Yes, she did her job and she went out in style. I suppose all we have to do now is to wait for the woman or boys to come out and pick us up.
Yeah,
that's about it, Mac. They shouldn't have any trouble finding us. You can bet your life they've tracked us down. Now there's plenty of smoke to guide them in.
As you say, plenty of smoke.
Oh, it's blowing this way, too. Come on, let's move. Might as well start getting used to normal gravity again. Even if this isn't the ideal place to practice it.
Oh, look at it. Sun and sands. Miles of blooming desert. Oh, I reckon it's hotter here than it was inside the ship. Not that I'm complaining.
I shouldn't think so either. You'll be back in Portsmouth with your wife and kids in no time.
Ah, Pompey, eh? That sounds like heaven now. You think I'm likely to get leave, though, Bob?
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure you'll get a short break anyway, Higgy.
What about you? Think you'll be getting back to those nice, cold Essex marshes of yours?
Not until CSP decide what to do about the Unitas, eh, Mac?
No. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not even thinking of home yet. Glasgow's still a long way off.
Oh, away with you. You'll be staggering down Stocky Hall Street before you know where you are.
I never stagger, Hickey.
Well, then you're giving a lifelike imitation of it now.
You know, it's about time you had a little bit of naval discipline again. Come here.
No, thank you very much.
No, pack it up, you two. Come on. This, I can hear engines.
You're right.
Yes, they sound like our jet helicopters.
Look, there they are. There's two of them. See them just through the smoke there.
Yeah, one of them's a flying ambulance, isn't it?
Yes, there's no mistaking the white. I wonder who's in the other one.
Oh, Colonel Kent, I'll bet you.
Yes.
Give them a wave.
Hello there.
They won't hear you, Hickey.
Now look, they're circling. Come on down, for goodness sake.
They probably can't believe their eyes. They must have recognized us by now.
Yeah. They're waving back. Here they come.
You were right, Mac. There's the colonel. Look, he's got Sir Charles Day with him. Let's go and meet them.
I'm halfway there. Colonel Kent. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hello. So it really is you.
Aye, we're not ghosts. We're quite real. And it's good to see you. And you, Sir Charles.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Britton. It's very good to see you.
Well, this is a moment we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, I'll say it is.
You're all right, are you?
Oh, yes. Pretty good, thanks.
Good.
I expect you picked up the ship properly as soon as we got below the interference zone.
Yes, it was just as well for you that we did.
I must say you were pretty quick off the mark with the rescue party, sir. Congratulations. The
predictors gave us your approximate landing point, and we took off before you actually landed.
I'm sorry we couldn't make a better job of it, but things got a bit sticky, as you can guess. We've got quite a story to tell. You see, after we went out to find Bradley...
Captain Britton, we are most interested to hear your story, but perhaps this is hardly the place for it. You'd better come aboard the machine, and we'll take you straight back to Womanhouse.
Yes, good idea, sir.
Yeah, let's get out of the sun.
Yes.
Come on, Hickey. Up we go.
Well, now, you obviously don't need the ambulance, so it can follow us back.
Yes. All we need is a clean-up and a little bit of rest.
You'll have to have a medical check. We'll take you to the camp hospital to begin with, and you can start telling us your story on the way.
Yeah, right, sir.
We all aboard?
Yes.
Right. Then here we go.
And quite frankly, Bob, I don't like it. I don't think Kent and that old idiot of a minister believe a word we've told them.
Did you see the colonel's face when you explained how we repaired Orbiter 2? And when you said we'd been on board the Orbiter X workshop rocket, well, he looked downright suspicious.
Look, take it easy, boy.
That's your trouble, Bob. Sometimes you're too easy. Just because this numbskull Kent, your senior officer, you say, yes, sir, no, sir.
Mac, be quiet.
No, I won't. Putting us here in this hospital room is as good as locking us up. We're under arrest, that's what we are. Oh, they haven't told us yet, but don't worry, they will, when they've cooked up a case.
That's enough, Mac.
Don't you realize, while Colonel Blimp and his satellite minister are fumbling round in circles, Kramer's getting down to business.
Now, look, Mac.
May I come in?
Oh, yes. Colonel Kent, yes, of course.
I suppose you have the rumpus.
Well, perhaps it would be better to forget it.
No, you don't have to be diplomatic with us, sir. It's time we cleared the air. And it's time we started asking you a few questions.
Now, Mac, for heaven's sake.
If I don't shake this place up, the Unitas will.
Now, listen. You can let off steam with me, but don't try it with the minister and don't underestimate him. He'll be back in a moment and I thought I'd have a quiet word with you first.
Okay.
You must admit you've told us a most astonishing story. There are bound to be more questions and you may be in for one or two shocks.
I am, so will you, sir. If you don't believe what we tell you.
I'm bound to say that's perfectly true, sir. There is a very serious danger, and you've got to accept the
fact. Cool down, both of you. You must be patient. And to you in particular, Mac, a word of warning. Keep yourself in check and don't lose your temper. Ah, now, this will be Sir Charles. Now, remember what I've said. Come in. Ah, Sir Charles.
Ah, well, gentlemen, it's nice to see you. I hope all of you are beginning to settle down.
It's a little early to say yet, Sir Charles.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're in good shape medically.
Yes. And mentally, I think.
Good. Well, now, Colonel Kent and I have been having a serious talk about what you told us. And there are just one or two points in your story that I'd like to clear up, so suppose you make yourselves comfortable and try and relax.
All right, we'll try, Sir Charles.
Now, Britton, when you first arrived at this place you call Unity Headquarters, I gather that you expected to be faced with a program of indoctrination.
Well, I should say there was no doubt about it.
You seem very sure of it.
Well, yes. It wasn't difficult to recognize the early stages of the brainwashing technique.
Ah.
You know, the build-up of tension, uncertainty, repetitive noises, bright lights, interrogation. We had all that from the moment we arrived.
But it made no impression on you.
No. We weren't there long enough.
But given time, do you think it might have had some effect?
I honestly don't know.
Presumably, Captain Bradley would.
Bradley? Yes, I expect he would, poor chap. Well, he's been there long enough now. He's probably had the full treatment.
By the way, you say he had a broken leg. Was it the left or the right leg? Do you remember?
The right one, wasn't it, Mac?
Yes, it was.
Do you agree with that, Hicks?
Well, I can't say, because I never saw him, sir.
Captain Britton told you, sir. Hicks wasn't with us when we found Bradley in the headquarters.
Oh, yes. It had slipped my mind.
I suppose you think we should have brought him out with us, sir.
No. Your duty was to get back here with the information.
That's exactly what Brad said.
Yes, he said we'd never make it if we tried to bring him along with us.
He did he?
Yes, but we made a promise that we'd go back for it. And we mean to keep that promise.
That won't be necessary, will it, Colonel Kent?
No, hardly.
Well, what do you mean, sir?
Bob, I've got a surprise for you. We haven't mentioned it before, but Jack Bradley is no longer at Unity Headquarters.
What?
He's right here inside the hospital.
Brad here?
It can't be.
I don't understand it. It's wonderful news, but how on earth did he get back?
He sent us a radio signal from Orbiter One.
He did what?
He signaled us from his ship, and I flew out with Captain Knight and picked him up.
And he was there?
Yes. I also took the opportunity to look aboard Orbiter Two, and you were not there. Now you'll begin to see why we've been a little worried about your story.
Yes, but it all adds up, doesn't it?
Yes, Bradley must have been put back on his ship by the Unitists. They intended he should be picked up.
Yes, hold on, wait a minute. How did you hear his signals through the interference, sir?
It stopped.
Well, that clinches it. Unity cut the interference to make jolly sure that you did hear him. This was their one way of getting him back to Woomera without arousing suspicion.
Yes, but why should they want him back? Hasn't he told you all about them, sir?
No, not a word.
Do you realize what this means, Colonel Kent?
Yes, Mac. We're not quite numbskulls, you know. The minister and I have decided that Captain Bradley has been through the brainwashing treatment, and he's here as a Unity agent.
Yes, I'm afraid that is now obvious.
Yes, it looks like it. But Jack Bradley, no, he wouldn't agree to work for those people.
Believe me, if they know their job, which I'm sure they do, there probably isn't a man alive who could hold out against them.
Yes, I suppose you're right, Sir Charles. How is Brad? Can we see him?
Yes, it's all been arranged. I've just spoken to the doctors and they agree it might be a good idea for him to meet you right away. I'll have him sent in.
We're going to see him now.
Quiet, Hickey.
We are ready for Bradley.
I take it he doesn't know we're here.
No, indeed he doesn't. That's the whole point of the meeting.
Shock tactics, eh? I don't like it.
Neither do any of us. But we may help to trigger off the process of reconversion. It'll be interesting to see his reactions. Here he is.
Come in.
You wanted to see Mr. Charles?
Hello, Bradley.
Britton. McClellan, Hicks, I... No. No, it isn't true.
You weren't expecting this, were you, Bradley?
Why not? Why shouldn't I? Why are you all staring at me? What is this?
It's no good. You can't bluff. You see, we know all about you.
Yes. Yes, of course you do. I've told you everything I know.
Have you?
Yes, I have. What are you getting at? Let me out of here.
No, Bradley, pull yourself together. We want to help you. Captain Britton has given us the true story. He's told us about the Unity organization and this man Kramer and all that he stands for.
What are you talking about?
You know quite well. Britton and McClellan spoke to you when you were inside the Unity headquarters. That's where you first met Kramer and a man called Gelbin, do you remember?
I've never heard of them.
And there was a Dr. Ravel.
These names mean nothing to me.
But, Brad, you do know these people. You were in their hands. We were with you.
I don't remember.
Then you'd better think hard. How are you supposed to get in touch with them?
Get in touch with them? You're talking nonsense.
What have they done to you? Come on, snap out of it, man. Tell me about the indoctrination.
You're all wrong. Leave me alone.
Then tell me where you think you've been for the past few weeks.
I've been aboard Orbiter One. You know that.
We know that's not true. You weren't there when Britton went aboard? It was Kramer who put you there. Kramer, wasn't it?
I don't know who Kramer is.
Where are his headquarters? They must cover a large area.
I tell you, I don't know.
Well, which country are they in? The local government must know about them, and so must you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. And as for you, Britton...
Brad, you must help us. You wouldn't be the first to defect against Unity. Dr. Ravel helped us, and...
She may have done, but I...
She?
Now, the game's up, Bradley. We never mentioned that Dr. Ravel is a woman... You obviously know about her, just as you know about Kramer and the rest of them. Now start talking.
All right. I did promise to help Unity, and I'm proud of it. During the past weeks, I've learned to see things more clearly. I see that democracy, communism, dictatorships are all leading to the same end, destruction. The only hope for the future of the world is a Unity world government. It's bound to happen. It's natural evolution, and whatever you do, you can't stop it. I hoped I'd be able to play a part in it, but... Now I realize that that's impossible.
Yes, it is. Quite impossible.
But you can't make me say anything that would injure the organization.
You won't tell us where the headquarters are?
Of course not. In any case, I don't know.
But you mean they never told you?
No. I realized they had to protect themselves in case something like this happened.
That means you were to work through a contact.
I have nothing to say.
All right. We'll find out later. But purely as a matter of interest... Do you know why Dr. Kramer left Britton, McClellan, and Hicks on Orbiter X? There must have been a sudden emergency, because he left quite suddenly without any explanation.
Yes, the interference transmitter caught fire at Unity headquarters.
So that was it. He was afraid his ship would be seen on the ground tracking screens.
Aye, no wonder he pushed off and left us to it.
But he must have rebuilt the transmitter very quickly to cover your return to Orbiter One, Bradley.
No, he used a small emergency setup.
Yes, of course. Of course, it will be obviously some time before Kramer can put the main transmitter back into service and return to Orbiter X.
Don't you believe it? Their people are efficient. The new transmitter's probably working already.
I wonder. Colonel Kent, would you be good enough to ring through to Central Control and check on them?
By all means.
Central Control speaking.
Oh, hello, Brown. Kent here.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what is the interference like on the sound and vision monitors at the moment?
Well, there isn't any, sir. Both channels are clear. I suppose they would be when we don't want to use them.
Yes. Well, perhaps you've got something there. Right. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, sir.
You heard that, Sir Charles?
Yes, thank you. It appears that Dr. Kramer is less efficient than you thought, Bradley.
I'm not saying any more. You can do what you like.
Now, don't worry. You may not realize it, Bradley, but you're a sick man. We'll see that you're properly cared for.
Come along, Bradley. This way. The minister and I will be back in a moment, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what do you know?
I know what I'd like to do to Kramer and his gang.
So do I. And I think what they must have done to Bradley. He's a completely different man.
Yes. Will he ever be himself again, Bob?
Yes, but it may take some time.
Yeah, it was pretty grim the way he caved in when he first saw us. He soon pulled himself together, didn't he?
Yeah, and when he realized he'd given himself away, he came right out on Kramer's side.
Oh, see what happens when his wife visits him.
Yes, well, she may be able to help. Well, gentlemen, I promised you some shocks.
We've still another one in store for you, haven't we, Sir Charles?
Yes, I'm afraid we have.
I hope it's not a case of meeting another Bradley. I must say I feel a bit shaken after that.
We all do.
Yes, it was pretty frightening.
I couldn't agree more. Now listen, gentlemen. This Unity organization's got to be broken up. But the important thing is that we don't want Kramer to know we're on his tail.
Otherwise, he'll go into action. Am I right, Bob?
Yes, quite right, sir. He's got stacks of ballistic missiles, and he won't hesitate to use them. He thought he was in danger.
So at the moment, our best line of attack is through you.
Well, yes, I suppose it is, but what can we do?
It may be a job with a one-way ticket, Britton. So I shall quite understand if you decide not to take it on. The point is this. As far as Kramer knows, Bradley is still his agent, and you are still on our embryo space station, Orbiter X.
Yes.
Now, we don't want to upset that illusion, and there's no reason why we should.
But as soon as the interference transmitter is working again, Kramer will go back to the station.
Exactly, and he must find things just as he left them.
You mean you want us to go?
Yes. Colonel Kent and I are asking you to return to the place you struggled so hard to get away from. In other words, what we are asking you to do is to go back to Orbiter X.
That ends the 10th episode of Orbiter X, an adventure in the conquest of space by B.D. Chapman. It was produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.